Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's space. We have an amazing session from our femininity panel. So just going to wait on them to join. I'm also picking my kids because we have bad weather here in New York, like freezing rain. So I might be quiet for a while as I wait for my co-host, Matt, to join. Just in case. Okay, there he is. Good.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Matt. I think you can take over. I'm going to be picking my kids now.
Fantastic. All right. Well, happy Friday, everyone. I hope you all are doing well. We're getting some unruly weather in the Northeast United States. We got some freezing rain and schools are getting out early. So that's what Madonna is dealing with. But I'm currently just working on getting all of our wonderful guests up here to speak today. All right. Looks like we have Miriam and Sierra. Can you hear me? And can we hear you?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Oh, and Denard just joined as well. Great.
Yes. Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Okay, cool.
Hey, guys. How are you? Just give me 1 second. I'm just figuring out my headphones.
Great. All right. Well, just to fill some space a little bit, very excited to have everyone here today. We have an awesome panel of individuals who do so much in the Android development space for the community and just in learning and teaching and sharing knowledge. And we cannot wait to talk with them today and learn more about their journeys and what they have been working on and what they're excited for in the future in terms of Android development and anything else, because we all need a little hope right now, I think. But yeah, just waiting for everyone to get set up, and I hope everyone's having a good Friday.
Yeah, we're having a good Friday here. It's the weekend. It's not a working day in Saudi Arabia, so yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've got a bit more work to do in my day today, but we're so happy to be here to talk with all of you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, and it looks like Denora's on her way back. Cool. So I think everyone's here. Madonna is going to be away for a little bit. She is handling picking up her kids, just for anyone who has just joined us. I want to start off saying we would like to keep these super open, so if anyone wants to come up and ask questions, please do that. If you don't feel like speaking today, just DM me right now, and maybe Madonna later if you're more comfortable reaching out to her, and we can ask for you and then get your questions answered. But we would really love you to come up and ask questions today. Everyone on this panel is super amazing, and like being able to speak right to them is just such a treat. So just want to start things off. Maybe we can just introduce everyone. So, Denora, you are first on my list. So can you give a little background into who you are, what you do, where you're from, stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Denora. I'm Google Developer Expert on Android. I've been doing Android for a couple of years now. I'm pretty much based in Mexico City. And I work for a financial company right now. And everything is going well. We are mostly a startup, but everything is really cool. And that's it. That's a little bio.
Awesome. Sierra?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm Sierra. I'm based out of Cincinnati. We also got hit with some nasty winter weather and currently deciding if I can brave it to see my sister tonight. Looking like a no on my end. Day to day, I am an Android engineer at a consulting firm in Cincinnati called Atomic Robot. We help companies here build native mobile apps. And then also, I am the leadership fellow for Women Who Code Mobile, so run our community and space and plan a lot of awesome events featuring a lot of the other women on this amazing panel as well. And just really glad to be here.
Awesome. We are so glad to have you here. And last but definitely not least, Miriam.
Yes, hi. I'm Miriam Al-Hudaifi, and I'm an Android developer at Zain KSA, which is one of the biggest telecom companies here in Saudi Arabia. I am based now in Riyadh, but I was not based in Riyadh in like 1 month. I was based in Medina, actually, and now I moved to Riyadh, which is really exciting for me. And yeah, that's about me. All
sweet.
Right. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for being here. If anyone wants to come up and ask anyone questions, we're going to just kind of do a panel discussion today. So we would love to cover all kinds of topics. But to start off, I just kind of want to float the question out there. What got you started into Android development? How did you pick this as a either a passion or a career, whatever it began as?
I can pick that. Well, for me, it was really different than most of the people that are doing software engineering. I was studying other thing in college, very different of computer science and things like that. But when you start doing things in code and you figure it out that you are good at it, well, you ended up deciding to take that decision and go for it, right? So I ended up taking a couple of courses over udacity.com. And I ended up doing all the code labs that were on the Android developers website. So I start like that, and pretty much that make the sense of everything I've been doing it. For me, it has been a very pretty much I've been teaching myself a lot of things, and I've been trying to understand what other people is trying to share over maybe some conference, blog posts, and things like that. That has helped me a lot over the last couple of years. So pretty much that was a decision. It was a self-taught situation, and it was one of the greatest decisions I have ever made. For me, doing code right now is one of the most enjoyable things I've been doing with my life. I love to learn. And not only learning, but also teaching. So has been incredible. It was one of the best decisions I have ever made. So no regrets about that.
Awesome. Anyone else want to give a little bit of their story?
I can. I actually studied math and physics in undergrad. One of the reasons I love that Denora talks about Kotlin and math all the time. I really look forward to seeing that talk one day or watching that talk one day. And so I actually went to grad school to get a PhD in physics and was working in a laser lab, which is really cool to say out loud, but I didn't totally love it at the time. It was really, really cool science, but not the right fit for me and my skill set and what I wanted to be doing in life. But I didn't really have a plan B. I ended up being hired by Chase. They were looking to diversify their tech pipeline and looking for women with STEM degrees to train and transition to technical role. And then I was looking for a spot inside that bank and had a friend on the original ChasePay team, which has since been sunsetted, and told them that I wanted to be an iOS developer at the time. And they showed me iOS code, and it was written in Objective-C, and I could not wrap my head around that at that time. I knew a teeny tiny bit of Java and didn't have the confidence to learn a new language and a new framework and how to develop mobile apps all at the same time. That was like too many new things for me all at once. And so at the time, Android was written in Java. I knew a teeny tiny bit of Java. They asked me if I wanted to give that a go, and here I am now.
That's awesome. Cool. Mariam, what about you? How did you start your journey into Android development?
All right. So first, my university major was information systems. And then we studied Java as an object-oriented programming language. And I had the concepts, the basics of the whole thing. But then in the graduation project, we needed to have an application or a website. You need to have at least a project that you show as a graduation project. And I chose Android. Application. We built an Android application, me and my team, because we had knowledge in Java. After that, along the way, we had some issues with the Gradle issues. And I remember it was like it was hell back then. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So, anyways, I just got a call, so I thought the voice just broke. Anyway, so getting back to this project, it was hell with the Gradle issues, and I did not like it. I did not like Android back then. And then I moved on to web development. And I didn't like it either. So I liked Android development more. I liked mobile development more. And then, yeah, I decided to get back to Android development. I learned a lot of things. It was self-taught. And yes, I tried to share what I'm learning with the community and with my local community most of the time. So you would see my talks are in Arabic, but I do sometimes write English blogs. And yes, this is how I started with Android and also how I started with the community.
That's amazing. So it sounds like there's a lot of personal learning that everyone has done where you've decided to teach yourself things or have started in like maybe not a strictly computer science background and then went into Android development. What advice would you give to someone who is maybe in a similar situation to kind of go after this career or hobby if they want to do it for fun that you could give?
Probably one of the advice I will give to these persons, these self-taught persons, is that learning is a path, not a destination. So you will get frustrated and you will have to learn a lot of things that are usually quite difficult or you will not get around that easily. And it's okay. So it's okay to get frustrated in trying to learn new things. But have in mind that learning is a decision you are making, that learning is a path and it's not always simple. So don't be so hard on yourself. It's gonna be okay. You will learn everything you want to do. You will learn Dagger too. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, Sierra or Miriam, do you have any advice that you'd like to add on to that?
I would like to say that in addition to what Denora said, you have to dedicate time for learning. You have to learn and you have to learn the things that you're afraid of and dedicate time to be better at it. And you have to start coding immediately, not just wait till you learn the basics and then you can code things later. So you will learn by practice. That's the best way to do.
I just think learning can be is a super personal thing, and keeping that in mind if you're frustrated by how fast you're going. For me, I know very specifically at this point how I like to learn new things. And so when I was getting started with Android development, I really focused on matching patterns. I was lucky to be working on an app that already had some features. And so when I was trying to replicate that, it was just pattern matching. Oh, they did this sort of thing, so I am going to do something like that and making it work in that way. So for me, it's a very much learning by example. And that's definitely not how everyone learns. And then also, joining a community. I cannot talk about joining a community enough. I didn't really know about that when I was a junior developer. And so it could be really, really lonely back in that corner cubicle. I had a corner cubicle and I still remember that, is trying to teach myself these sorts of things. And I think I really could have benefited a lot from knowing that there was a larger Android developer community that is so supportive and open to new folks. And so that might look like joining Women Who Code Mobile or getting really involved and learning out loud on Twitter. I know I see so many people doing that and posting their questions there. And so finding whatever works for you to help make it a community, multi-person process, so that when you get to those frustrating parts, you have other people to lean on as well.
Yeah, that's something that I didn't have either. That whole community is something that, you know, doing Android was a very niche thing back in the day of development, and it sounds like everyone who started had some interest in Java or some knowledge, and so you just kind of got given the tasks. So that's really great. I'm going to try to link a tweet from the Women Who Code Mobile community, but if there's any other communities that we think we can pin here for people to join, please send them my way, and I'll add them to the top of the tweet and maybe put them in a thread afterwards. Yeah, until then, I kind of want to dive into that learning style bit that you brought up, Sierra, because I know that all of you share a bunch of talks and conferences, and just want to get some opinions on what you think about how the community shares information, and if someone wants to start writing and maybe share their learning process, why, like, there's a lot of hesitation around that sometimes. So how would you recommend someone get over that hurdle of wanting to contribute back to the community? Oh, can everyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, cool. Madonna is back.
Yes, I'm back. Everyone is safe now. Just, we're going to be waiting for the weather.
Awesome.
Hi, Madonna.
Hello. I've just been listening, and I just want to say I'm very happy to be in this particular space today with all of you amazing ladies. I mean, listening to your stories is amazing, and I'm happy to know all of you.
Do you want to do a quick introduction of yourself, Madonna? Because you are right up there with everyone here.
Yes, my name is Madonna, and I'm an Android engineer. I'm also a GDE Android, and recently I've been involved with engaging the community a lot, because like Sierra mentioned, I feel like when I joined Android back in the days, I didn't find the community. But one thing that kept me going, though, is the Google videos that they kept posting. Those were amazing because they helped me a lot. Like, just go there, watch what they're doing, and then I would implement the same thing. So I feel like that has really helped me in my career over the years. And then when I joined Women Who Code Mobile, and I started engaging in there, and then we had this amazing community of women together, would meet and talk and have some coffee dates from time to time. And I thought, wow, how about we grow the reach? And that's what I've been trying to do. And when Spaces came out, I think I started just Spaces, like, slowly. And then Matt, I know, Matt, I appreciate you very much, because I know you were the first person to join my space every day. And you were so supportive. And I was like, oh my goodness, Matt is amazing. I need to reach out to him. And that's how me and Matt now, like, come here and hang out with all of you amazing Android engineers out there. And yeah, that's how we do this Spaces.
Very cool. Do you want to go into, like, how you got started in Android development? Everyone kind of touched on that already.
Yeah, so I think we did this on our freestyle space back, I think, on two Fridays before. But how I started, in Android is, I had this phone, and I kept wondering, how did they make these apps on the phone? And I had Java knowledge, that's for sure. And I was working as a junior Java developer, just building inventory systems. And I started looking into, how can I make mobile apps? I mean, after Googling the concept, it was like, oh, they make mobile apps, and how can I make them? And then I learned that you can make them using Java, the knowledge of Java. And that's how I got in. So I built my first application. It was called Simple Math. And the concept that I had in mind was just to build a simple application that my kids can actually use and play with. And the game I built was very simple, where kids can add 1 + 1, they win, and then when they win, they move to the next level. And then there's a song that played. And back in the days, it was more of just activities. And then the design was pretty interesting. But just seeing how we've evolved and how Android development has really advanced made me want to stay, and that's why I'm still in the industry. That's my journey.
Amazing. Cool. So many paths to get here. Take whatever one works for you. Teach yourself in the ways that you need, or join the community and learn with them. Lots of great stuff being shared so far. But we can move on. Looks like someone has requested to speak. Not sure if they will make it up. Sometimes Spaces is a little iffy. But until then, I have a question that I got in the DMs, which is, what was your biggest hurdle in starting or learning Android development?
Well, I started learning Android development when Android was in Android 4. I think so. It was quite difficult. I think one of the things that are harder to learn is all the concepts that we need to understand about Android, right? From the life cycle to things like dependency injection, especially if you are a very junior engineer, like I was back in the days, it was quite complex for me to understand all that concept. I had to end up reading a lot of books, trying to search for it, trying to be resourceful about the things I was not understanding. And you ended up being quite humble because you don't know anything. And once you get back maybe to another level of seniority or things like that, you ended up knowing that you also know nothing at all. So for me, that was, I think that was the part, the concepts, the idea from moving maybe from really specific background on website to maybe doing some specific mobile. It was quite complex. Get around about all the concepts. For me, that was it.
I think on top of that, even for me, it was even learning the vocabulary of Android development. I would sometimes like know what I wanted to do to get from point A to point B, but I didn't know the words to ask that question to my tech lead and talk about that in what would be considered a coherent sentence. Because there were so many new concepts when I was getting started, not only in Android, but just in programming in general, because I didn't have that kind of background. And I have no idea how my tech lead at that time dealt with young, energetic, excited Sierra, who really just wanted to make a difference on that team.
I just want to add on that, Sierra. I think that was pretty funny and interesting when you mentioned that the vocabulary gets pretty hard sometimes. And I feel like that's a very good point. Like, I experienced that too. Just wanted to add.
I mean,
and for me, it was Gradle, to be honest with you. It took me time to figure the exact, like, how do I set up my Gradle for all my projects to be successful built. And also, I took time, as Dinar said, I took time to learn dependency injection. It was a little bit of a hard concept. Those are the two things, the two challenges I faced.
I love that you brought up Gradle. I mentioned that my first job was at a bank. And so when I left that first job, I knew nothing about Gradles because I was not allowed to touch it, because no one was allowed to touch it except the tech leads who worked with like the security team to pull in those things. So that wasn't a huge hurdle in my first job because I just didn't even know that that was a thing that and what it did.
Wow. That to me, that means that things were pretty fragile and could have been organized a little better. But cool. Yeah, definitely some challenges out there. And everyone's going to have different challenges on their personal journey. But I think sharing them can be really helpful to know that, you know, some things are really challenging, but they can be overcome. Very cool. Getting more questions. Looks like someone is asking about Jetpack Compose and whether or not you are using it or are still using XML views. So So they plan to start learning Jetpack Compose, but still feel like it might need some extra time to have more resources behind it. And they're just curious if you're using them in your projects or personal projects, or if you're learning it on your free time, like how's that going?
So I can take that question. I am actually using Jetpack Compose in my personal application, and also in my personal project. And I really like Jetpack Compose, I truly do. And yeah, we need to actually discuss this in my job role to use Jetpack Compose or not. And I think we need to use it because it saves time. It's really, the declarative approach also is a great approach to mobile development. But yeah, we need to, in my opinion, and also this is also the existing code base would be a major factor in making that decision. So for me, we will need to discuss even more regarding using Jetpack Compose for production. But I use it in my personal projects, and yeah, it's an amazing UI toolkit. Great. If you have any questions regarding specific questions regarding Jetpack Compose, please feel free to ask. Yeah, go ahead, Dinora. Sure.
Well, I'm using Jetpack Compose in my production app inside the office. We are doing it. We say we need to do it. We ended up taking a very very bold decision in there. Delta Compose was still on alpha when it happened. But the reason is that we believe that we learn more when we start trying new things. And it might not solve all our problems, but it might help us to learn something else. So we believe that also that you don't have to make a huge migration and push your application to production with everything in Compose. No, you don't have to do that. We can go small and learn what is worth it for the product you are building, right? So for us, we start the migration of a splash screen, like something really, really small, you know? And we go from there, and now we are gonna launch our new version of the application for at the end of March, and it's going to be fully on Compose. We are very proud of it, and we really like it, to be honest. We still have some things in XML, especially really old things that we are gonna start migrating, but we believe in small migrations, smooth migrations, and going from little to a lot. So we are gonna do that. We have a designer team that is doing that migration. So it's usually focused on our platform team. So we are doing that. But it has been an incredible journey. I think we have learned a lot of things. We have learned how to, we have teach ourselves to learn to code in another way. I know it's quite complex because you ended up, right now you know how to do a bottom, right? Or maybe a recycle view. And once you start doing things in Compose, you ended up Googling everything, like how to do a button in Jetpack Compose, how to do a recycle view in Jetpack Compose. And it's quite funny because you ended up noticing that it's simpler and it's brighter and it's cooler. And especially because you ended up having a lot of things that are quite different. But yeah, I think it's quite cool. Give it a try, guys. It might not solve all your problems, but it might help you to learn something else.
I think for me, I would say I'm already using Jetpack Compose for Budgeting Buddy. Budgeting Buddy is my like little baby that I built back in the days, 2018, during the Growing Up Scholarship. And I'm loving it so far. Like Denora said, that's what I kept doing too, because I kind of like moved this screen that had a card view and then a native text and then some spinners. So I kept Googling like, how do I create a spinner in Jetpack Compose, and it ended up working out. And I do love the way it's packaged too, because I noticed it was making everything simpler just to understand. So definitely worth a try. Please give it a try. It's awesome.
All right.
Okay. So before we move away from this topic, I would like to say that I am currently reading the Android UI development to Jetpack Compose, which is written by Thomas. He's actually with us in this space. Hi, Thomas. Would you like to say hi?
Actually, fun fact, we will be having Thomas on a space later this month to talk about that book.
I know, right?
That's amazing. I'll be there.
Yeah, so, it looks like Thomas is going to join us. Can you hear us, Thomas?
Hi, everyone. Very glad to be here. How are you?
Hello. So Thomas wrote a book about starting with Jetpack Compose. Miriam has read it. I am currently working through it, and it will be coming out officially later this month. And so we'll be having a space with Thomas around then, I think on the 18th, but I'll be posting official details about that in the next few weeks. Yeah, how are you today, Thomas?
Could you repeat, please? I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that we're going to be having you on a space in a couple weeks to talk about the new book.
Right. Actually, I'm looking forward to this very much. Writing the book has been quite a task, and I mean, Dinora and the others have already said it's going to be very exciting for all of us Android developers to be using Jetpack Compose. We need to learn lots of new things, but it's very exciting, and I hope to be able to share much of this excitement in my book. So as soon as it's out, I hope you will all enjoy reading the book. So, and like I said, looking forward very much to being in the space in 2 weeks.
Amazing. Well, thanks for coming up, and thanks for writing a great book. And we can't wait to talk with you more about it then.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Cool. Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up, Mariam, once you, after we ended this discussion, that anyone who wants to learn it, we'll be talking about, intro to Jetpack Compose with someone very knowledgeable coming up. But this is great.
I spoiled the whole surprise. Sorry.
That's okay. That's what the community is for. And I was just here thinking, oh my God, we need the heart emoji right now. I thought it was supposed to be rolled out, Matt.
Oh yeah. Maybe we should call Dan again and see what's up. Or actually, I have a couple people in here who work on spaces. So we need new emojis. Yeah. So I did get another question in my DMs, and it is about how do you hand off your apps to a QA team if you have a QA team? So do you use something to like your CI/CD to deliver APKs to them that they can go and fetch, or do you do it manually or something like some other service? What would you recommend people use? Looks like Denora's hand was up first, Madonna, sorry.
Don't worry, Madonna, you can go next. To be honest, and I'm gonna be very bold about this, I don't know if my balls are here, probably they are, but we don't have a QA team. We don't have any QA team at all in Cyclefio. And pretty much we have ended up doing a lot of fallbacks in UI tests, in integration tests, and everything that goes well. And this is not a commercial. I do promise you that this is not a commercial, but we are using Waldo.io, which ended up being one of the incredible things that we just purchased a year ago, and it helped us to manage UI testing and things like that. So we are pretty much making an automatization of everything that is going on in there. If someone, for example, maybe a designer, want to give us feedback or things like that, there is a CI that is scheduled to run every day at 7 p.m., and they get that version and they can download it and everybody can play with it if someone wants to do maybe some dog fooding or things like that. But that's pretty much our process. We have automatizing. We decide to automate and make everything automated. I know it's quite controversial, but it has worked for us. I don't know, maybe it's working for us.
Great. Madonna, you had something to add?
Yes. So for us, we do have, we're using Bitrise. I also promise this is not a commercial. And we do have, like Denora said, which I find to be interesting, that we schedule it such that, like, let's say on Fridays or on every Mondays, there's a link that's sent to this particular channel that's specifically for Android. And then our QA team can just go there and grab the link and test it. What I like about Bitrise is the fact that they have this link that sends you there, and then you can download it or you can do like QR code, which I thought was pretty smart. So yeah, we do have a QA process, and we do have like our CI is Bitrise, and we like it so far. And also, like, we do a lot of testing. We run our UI tests every, I think, Friday morning, just to make sure that they run so that we don't block everybody, because sometimes they can take too long. But otherwise, yeah, that's how we do it.
We're pretty lucky to have a small QA team, which I am thankful for every day as I introduce and then fix my bugs. But our process is similar in that we also kick off an automated build every night at 4 p.m. for our testing team that gets automatically distributed to them. But additionally, we actually have our Bitrise integrated with our Jira tickets. So all of our branches have a formatted name of including that Jira card number. And so when you merge your stories and our PR merging workflow kicks off, at the end of that, it actually additionally puts the build number that it is included on, so that any build number higher than that, it will be in those stories and able to be tested, and moves our stories automatically to ready for testing with that tag of what builds you can test it in so that our testers can quickly figure out which of the builds are relevant for individual stories.
Wow, from no Gradle to tagging builds for your QA.
I know, look how far I've come.
That's awesome. Cool. So still more questions, but before we jump into them, just wanted to encourage anyone who wants to come up and speak, please do. Everyone here is amazing and would love to answer any questions you have, and we would love to hear from you. Otherwise, send them to me or Mandana if you don't want to speak today for whatever reason, and we can get them in front of all of these wonderful guests. Also, I pinned two communities on Twitter to this space here, the Android dev community and then also the women in tech community. And you should totally go join them if you want to get more involved with the community. So far, they've been really great. Everyone's been super helpful in both of those, and I highly recommend reaching out and making some new friends. Do you want to say anything about those, Madonna? I think you moderate both of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Communities are amazing, and I found that I've grown so much, and I've met amazing people that I see here. Yasmin, I see you. Just a shout out. Yeah, and I mean, everybody here is amazing. I just don't know what to say. I feel like we needed it. We need it now, especially that we work from home. And all we meet right these days is just our colleagues maybe at work. And now with this space, I found it to be pretty amazing that I can come here and talk to you, Matt, and other amazing guests here that we always have. So I find that to be pretty positive on my side because we don't have meetups anymore, you know. Like, we can go for a meetup. I mean, I know Corona has messed up so many things. But please reach out to me or Dan for the Android dev community if you want to join. And if you know anybody in Android that wants to join, please, highly recommend it. And for women in tech, please, if you want to join both, ping me and the other amazing ladies who are moderating the women in tech. And definitely looking forward to growing those communities and just staying connected. I mean, Twitter is amazing. I feel like it's changed my life in a way, positive way.
Mostly positive, right? Cool. Moving on, we can hit a couple fun questions. What are you most looking forward to in Android dev? So either something new that you want to play with or something you haven't gotten to use yet. Anything that you are looking forward to trying out or seeing the community shift towards would be great.
I actually have seen so many developers use Ktor, and I would really love to explore that. I'm just like trying to find the time so I can like play with Ktor and see how it fits in an Android app. Yeah, that's what I'm excited to learn.
Cool. For anyone who doesn't know what Ktor is, could you explain it?
Yes. Okay, so I'm just searching the right words to describe what Ktor is. So I think it's a back-end. It's from JetBrain, and I think it's a back-end client or something. I don't know. I've not used it before, but I'm hearing a lot of things, great things regarding this tool. And some developers use it even instead of Retrofit. So, which is Retrofit is a library where you can make network calls. So yeah, I'm excited to learn Ktor and see how it integrates with Android applications.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think Ktor is also multi-platform supported. So as Kotlin multi-platform becomes more apparent, it might be the go-to solution for handling those network calls.
Yeah, and I apologize in advance if I did not describe it the right way, because I actually did not learn about Ktor, and I'll really need to dig deeper into that. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, there's always something new to learn. yeah, what about you, Denora?
Oh, well, I just like to play around, to be honest. So one of the things I'm really excited to learn is, or maybe try out, because it's a library, and I don't know if you learn a library, but you try it out a library. So there is you are in a school, right, Matt? So there is a library that is called Workflow. that give you the chance to have composable state machines, right? And I think that it's one of the things I want to try. I think it will solve a lot of problems that we currently have inside the application we are working on. We have a state machine for other process in the backend, and I think this will solve a lot of things. So I don't know. I've been seeing a couple of examples and things like that, and I don't know. I think it's quite cool. I think I want to try it.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of Square devs on Twitter who would be happy that someone else wants to use it.
I'm also like Denora and just have a personal Jetpack Compose project where I just mess around with all sorts of things that folks share on Twitter. Right now, I really want to dive deep into animations. I think I saw Maya on this talk on this space a little earlier, and she gave a talk at Chicago Roboto last year on like making sparkles with Jetpack Compose, and it's been bookmarked since that talk became available, and I've never gotten around to it. And that is next on my Jetpack Compose playground list, is looking at animations, rewatching that talk, trying to make something look cool and pretty, and seeing how that goes. In general, I have like a very ambitious list of things that I would like to learn compared to the amount of free time that I have in reality.
Yeah, that's always how it goes. And especially like you dive into one thing and that takes time away from other things you want to learn. Madonna, what about you? What are you excited for?
I think I would say Mariam was mentioning about Qatar, I was looking at it and I think it's pretty cool. And I would definitely want to try it out. I do know Budgeting Buddy doesn't have like a client to, you know, server. I don't ping anybody. So definitely can try running that on just I did create like my own backend where I loaded some images just on my website to just be playing with that. I think I can try that. But other than that, just continuing my process with Jetpack Compose for sure. I love it. I'm enjoying it. And that's it. I do also have a question that was posted to me, which I found pretty interesting and pretty good that I want to share. And the questions read, hi, Madonna, I have a question for the panel. To build a more diverse team, we have been looking to hire more women Android developers, but are having trouble finding them. Do you have any tips? So I think the question is, the team, maybe they're trying to find more women in Android, but they're not able to find them. So is there a way or a community that caters for that? And I think Sierra can pick this question because we have one community where we have Android developers. And please, if you're in the chat and you know other women in Android and you'd love to share your community or another idea, please, you're welcome to join to share with us.
Sure. Number one, there are a lot of paid job boards run by excellent people that are specifically to target and support some groups that have been excluded from tech in the past. My first recommendation for this sort of thing is definitely to review your interview process and your job postings and make sure that's not the barrier to entry into your particular company. I think there's a lot of really good resources out there that talk about the language that you're using in your job postings. Is it going to attract the diverse talent? Is it going to attract a certain type of person? So reviewing just the job posting in general, are you sharing the information that folks want? Things like the salary expectations, the type of benefits you're going to offer, these sorts of things. And reviewing your interview process itself. Again, a lot of really good resources out there to review your interview process and make sure that it's going to be fair and equitable no matter who enters your pipeline. So that can be including a rubric so that you're always comparing apples to apples when you have different interviewers reviewing folks' skill sets and these sorts of things. And also being kind of flexible. Take-home projects aren't going to work for everyone. They take time. You have to have enough free time to put together a really good project, and that's time that not everyone has. Madonna's a mom. I know I can't figure out how she has time to do everything that she does. It might be really difficult for adding a second take-home project on top of that. So having options like sharing a project they've already worked on, just doing a brief 1 hour pair programming session that they can squeeze into their regular day and don't have to find 8 hours to build a complete application. So before looking outward and saying that you can't find that kind of talent, looking inward to make sure that you're doing the work to attract that kind of talent as well, is my recommendation.
I love that answer. And actually, Denora, I'm going to deviate a little bit. You posted something on your Twitter, which was pretty good. And I remember Zach gave a talk on the same topic, right, Matt, on our Android Hangout. So there's the video that Zach from Google explains how you can use Workflow. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's about the workflow stuff.
Yes. So, Denora, that will be pretty helpful. I'll send that link to you.
Awesome. Thank you. I have a comment about the topic that Sierra was talking about. Sometimes developers or people that want to learn something, maybe Android or maybe Swift, they don't have the opportunity or the chance to land a job in a huge company or maybe in a small company because they are not maybe in a high level of seniority. Please have spaces for people that want to learn, people that are interns, maybe college students. It's quite common in Mexico City and maybe around LATAM to have interns. To be honest, one of our senior engineers in the backend engineering team he was an intern when I start working on the company I work, and he has made an incredible team. He has built an incredible culture around what he has learned because we give him the space to learn more things. So please keep that in mind. Not all your engineers are going to be senior. I know you sometimes need a senior, but maybe building the seniority or the path of seniority is as incredible as hiring an incredible senior engineer.
Yeah, I cannot agree. Just make sure you can support those junior engineers and help them grow. I should say I cannot agree more. Didn't finish the phrase. Cool. Sierra, thank you for sending me that resource. I will pin that to the space really quick because that's a great resource and I've looked through it many times. It's just a resource for how to refine your interview process so that you can have a more structured and diverse experience for your candidates. And then it looks like we had someone come up to speak. Gida, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but if you are there, we would love to hear from you.
All right. Good evening, guys. Evening, Nigeria. So my name is Gida. I'm an Android engineer from Nigeria. So my question is to all the speakers. Do you guys specifically know any open source projects Android developers can contribute to? Like specifically, if you know those projects, you can just point them out. So it will be easy for people to contribute to those projects. Yeah, that's my question. Thank you.
All right. So does anybody help or know of any open source projects?
I think I would say I did post the question and then tagged Android Dev, the same kind of question, like, hey, do you have any, I didn't phrase it as do you have any open source project, but we shared like our GitHubs and then so many people shared their open source project. I'm going to find that link and also ping me, please, if I forget it, and then send it to you. And then I think in that thread was so many amazing projects that I was like, wow, this is pretty good. And also, I think we hosted Leland, who started his company from, I think he used to work for Uber. And then he started his company Mobile Dev. And he did say that is his, what is it called? Like his company is welcoming people to contribute. It's an open source project. So the other problem is that I do know the space is expired after 30 days, but he did mention so many cool things about his project. Maybe you can look that up. Matt, do you have more information? I feel like that's one where people can definitely look into.
Yeah, that was the mobile.dev talk that we did where they rewrote a better ADB, Android Debug Bridge application so that it doesn't need the server side, the code you write will talk directly to a device instead. And they are looking for any help or usage of that to see how they can improve it, or anyone can contribute new features. They have a couple issues open. I can see if I can find a link to that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one. I'm also going to find the other link where I think people didn't mention they're welcoming to their project. And then you can just jump in and try to see if you can read the, I think, the instruction how to collaborate and then open your fast pull request. I think
right.
we need.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, that's all for me.
You're welcome. And thank you for coming up and asking questions. Sierra, Dinora, or Mariam, anybody know of any other open source project?
I have one project, but it's in Arabic. So I open sourced my application, but it's in Arabic. It doesn't support English. So I don't know if he's interested in that. I just thought about it.
I'm just going to say that I think Android's really cool because there's so much open source work out there in some really, really big projects that are industry standard or open source. And so some of it is probably figuring out what kind of project you want to contribute to as well. You know, do you want to contribute to something like Madonna's budgeting buddy and fix UI bugs versus contributing to a library that's going to be pulled in as an SDK into applications as well. So some personal decisions about what kind of contributions you want to work on and what kind of skill set you have and where you can best use those as well on different open source projects.
Yeah, the world of Android is very diverse. I just added a link to Leyland's tweet that has a link to that GitHub project. So if you want to check that out, it's super cool and it's super helpful and really solves a really interesting problem. So something fun to learn about. But unless anyone has anything else to add there, I would love to hear from Angel.
Hey, everyone. Good afternoon. I was just going to add to for the open source. Another good way to do it is depending on what library you're using. Like I was using KTLint for a project, so I contributed to that one, and or Coin. You know, just like Sierra said, it's a huge amount of libraries that we all use that they definitely can welcome any help at all. You know, that's a cool thing about our community. And for my question is, I'm just curious. Like for you know all the panelists, how do y'all do your day-to-day as far as, like, staying motivated? Because we all have our own regular lives, and we have to, like, you know, go to work. But then at the same time, you know, I think Matt said it, you know, brilliantly. It's like we have so many stuff we want to learn, but very, like, a finite time to do it. So I was just curious as, like, your routines and, you know, how you go about, like, accomplishing certain things, like whether it's to learn Jetpack Compose or learning, you know, the new library from Square, you know, things like that.
Yeah, Denora.
So for me, I'm in a specific team that is in charge to testing things. I know it sounds like a trio because we usually have a platform team, and this platform team is in charge to trying new stuff and getting to know other libraries and things like that and do some proposals. So for me, that's it. I usually ended up doing a lot of that kind of stuff in my daily work. But if I want to try something new that is not in my daily task, I ended up doing a small project for me. I don't ended up publishing anything on GitHub or anything like that, but I ended up doing it. Maybe give it like 30 minutes a day, try to figure it out things, doing it in a positive way, not usually trying to have something done by the end of the week or things like that, and just trying to vibe with learning. So pretty much that's my process.
I was gonna say I do not always stay motivated. Number one, there are plenty of times where it's just too much today, but when it comes to work and those sorts of things, probably much to the frustration of my scrum master, if I get too frustrated with something, I might switch to something that I know can be a small win to kind of bring that motivation back. So I might switch over and fix some bugs or something where I know where to start and what path forward. And that's something that just works for me is doing something that I know I can complete if I'm struggling to complete something else. And then when it comes to personal projects, it's definitely about prioritization. And I know that those sorts of things are for me. So if I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to stop and work on something new. I definitely give myself that kind of grace that if it's not something that I like, it's not giving me what I need, I'm not finding it interesting, I'm not motivated to do it, then it's time to move down that list of ambitious things I would like to learn and find something that does make me happy and brings me joy in my time off, because that time is mine to do what I want with it.
I think for me, since I have kids, I also have a full-time job. What I do mostly is, what do I try to do? I think calendar really helps me, the Google Calendar. And what makes me motivated is, I think I just love doing what I do. Like, I love doing Android. It is frustrated sometimes. I think I was frustrated by some animation that took longer than I thought. And I feel like I spent way so much time. I was just crying. This one day I was crying to myself, like, oh my goodness, how am I going to solve this? And I ended up solving it, which was pretty straightforward. I just laughed at myself. It happens, you know. And then I always just reach out to the community. I feel like this makes me motivated to keep doing it more. So I don't have any recipe to how I stay motivated. I think I'm always just motivated and always keeping it positive. It really helps a lot.
Madonna is probably one of the most positive people I have ever met. And just talking to Madonna can give you back your optimism and hope for the future.
Yeah, I do not know how you manage all of what you do, Madonna. Cool. So I have a couple questions from DMs, but just to reestablish, anyone who wants to come up and ask, please come join us. So happy to have you. Really glad to be here on a Friday. And so far, the discussion has been amazing. So thank you all for being here and for all the questions so far.
Sorry, I wanted to plug in something before like we end or end later. Is please, if you're not following Dinara, Sierra, or Mariam or Matt, please make sure you do, because they're super amazing. The content they share is amazing. Please stay connected with them. And also Ben Cato, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, shared I think it's an open source project. I just pinned it to the chat, to the space. Make sure you look it up. And also, I just noticed space is working pretty well. Not break today, didn't crash for me. Great job, Twitter.
Oh, now you've said it though.
Well, it crashed for me.
That didn't last long.
Good to know.
Cool. So question that I got in my DMs is what tools or software do you use for cross-functional team collaboration?
I currently work on an enterprise project at a large company, and so we use a lot of the standard ones and some of the not so favorite ones in our community. So GitHub, Jira, Bitrise for our CI/CD, Confluence, and those sorts of things right now.
I'm sorry, Dinora, I just have a follow-up question for Sierra. So regarding this, these tools, do you use it with designers also and with the marketing team, if you have other teams, or this is just for a small development team?
So our Confluence pages are open to all of those teams, and so that is where a lot of our documentation and questions get answered and those sorts of things. Our Jira board is also both our development team and our designers, so that we can all see what everyone is working on at any given time. So we can see the designers pulling in their stories to know kind of what's coming up for the dev team. And we can have, and our QA team, our designers and our developers can all work on those cards. We do kind of protect our actual Jira board to people on our actual team, mostly to make sure our requirements, once they're in that card, don't get changed by outside influences. But our Confluence is open to a lot of different teams, and that's where a lot of the cross team interactions happen as well.
Yeah, thanks for answering. All right, go ahead, Denora. I'll get back to the point later.
No, I was going to say the same thing that Sierra was saying. We use Jira, everything that it goes in there. And we involve the designers in here, and usually we also have product requirements and things like that to make sure that everybody is in the same page. But we have found that having an account in Loom or Miro help us to fill out some details that might be missing in maybe some Figmas. So that has helping us a lot. You should give it a try. Loom is free for 5 minutes videos, and it makes the trick. And Miro is also really cool. So we usually share our boards and our flows in Miro, and everything goes smooth.
For us, we are using Jira. At all the companies that I worked for, we all use Jira, and I think it requires some technical knowledge for other teams to report their progress. And we've got some complaints regarding that, like the complexity of this platform. So yeah, thanks for sharing. We use the same tool basically.
Cool. What about you, Madonna?
I think I won't repeat what everybody said, because I feel like we all use the same tools. We use the same, like everybody mentioned.
Madonna, do you use any in your personal, to track your personal projects?
Sierra.
I'm just curious where you have maybe a little bit more flexibility to try some of those tools. A lot of these decisions are often dictated by my office, and so I don't have any choices.
Well, I am the product designer. I am the QA team. Wait, it's funny. I am the what? The reviewer. And no, actually, to be fair, I do build budgeting buddy with Chidi. She's amazing. She's based out in, what is it called? Nigeria. And she reached out to me because she wanted to learn how to build Android apps. And I said, hey, look, yeah, come join me and then we'll collaborate. And that's how we've been building together. She's enjoying working on it. I enjoy working in it with her. She's amazing. Yeah, so we don't have any process. Basically, that's what I'm saying. We just review each other's code, learn together. If there's a question, we dig deep together. Yeah, that's what we do. Nothing much. Sierra, I don't have any process.
So regarding the question for personal, so this started as a question, and then it ended with another question, which is, what do you do for your personal, like, organization for your life? So for that, to answer this question, I use Notion most of the time. I just moved to Notion. I used to use Trello, and I moved to Notion. It's really amazing for the personal, for my personal life organization, and also for community contributions. So if I have talk, I would just mark it in the Notion calendar and like refer to it later. And I have it's a great tool. Yeah, this is for my personal life. And for the professional life, we have Jira and all of the other integrations, Slack and all of those.
Teach me your ways. I think I can't keep up with Notion. I find it a little bit complicated, just to be honest. But other than that...
of course, we can have a chat later if you want. I can explain everything about, everything about the organization system that I built. I just customized it to like fit in my personal life and the community thing.
I love that. Wow. Sierra, you got the answer. Yeah, sure.
This just reminds me, I'm also very disorganized in my personal life. I tend to be a handwritten notes type of person, so I have a handwritten to-do list all the time that's always growing.
Oh my goodness, now that you mentioned Sierra, that's what made me create the planner that I have, on my website, on the shop section, which I actually like just write stuff. I love writing too. I love just handwriting, like short notes, like today I need to take my kids to the swimming pool. And then I put it on a sticker note. And now that I have my planner, I just write there, and it's always on my desk because I have this glass desk that I like to put there and show off sometime. So I just put them up there, and I'm like, it reminds me all the time.
Why are you laughing? I'm serious.
I'm just imagining you having to move that every time you share a picture of your desk setup.
Yeah, a bit of show.
Very cool. Back on Android topics, got a couple more questions in my DMs, and this one is about finding a mentor. So do you have any recommendations or strategies for working to find a mentor, and then how to foster a good relationship with them?
I think there is a lot of types of mentors. There are technical mentors that can guide you over it, and there are soft skill mentors, right? For the second one, I think you need to find the person that that you feel more comfortable to talk, especially because you might end up talking about some fears or some things that you are missing. And for the technical part, I think finding a good mentor probably can be one technical lead that you have some deeply appreciation about the process that they do or the things they know. I think sometimes you don't ask for being for being a mentor or getting a mentor. You don't ask for that. You just pick one. I know it sounds like awful, but you ended up picking someone like you are gonna be my mentor. For me, I think that's the position. For me, in the technical side, I think a good mentor should be one person that doesn't that guide you, that make you grow, that teach you things, that doesn't give you answer like we are doing it like this because I say so. So they give you a proper answer of things that why we are doing things like that and things like and everything that goes in between. I think that for me, it's a good mentor.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think, one more thing. I think it's great to have a mentor, but it's not so great to rely on a mentor to make decisions. It's okay to, if you're a junior and or if you're not a junior, I'm looking for a mentor anyways, it's good that you make decisions. Even if they are not the best decisions out there, that's fine. You can make decisions, make the app work, and then afterwards you can have a discussion with your mentor. What was the best approach to solving this problem? Is your approach better, or are there any other approaches that would have been implemented better and would provide a better value? So yeah, do not rely on your mentors. Make decisions. Be wrong, that's fine. And yeah, if you have a mentor that is that supports you and explain things to you, that would be really amazing.
Nice. And a follow-up to that is, do you currently have mentors, or where do you find mentorship?
I do have one. In the place I work, there is an incredible software architect that I trust deeply. And he is incredible, and I have one director of architecture that is also, he has helped me a lot on growing, and especially because I think my soft skills were not the best ones a couple of years ago. Like, I ended up being very 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 nasty to the designers. I'm so sorry, there is a designer in here. I'm sorry, I was that person before. But he has helping me a lot. So pretty much that. And I usually think that mentors are your day-to-day team, right? They help you to grow. And if you are really smart, you can ask the correct questions to the right persons. So for me, I think that's really cool. So pick a mentor that, you can find a mentor everywhere with everyone in your team. So give it a try.
Go ahead, Madonna.
Oh yeah, I think I wanted to say one thing that I've learned is that, like everybody has mentioned, mentors work differently. And I think like for me, I think a lady reached out to me like to share just her story because she's an amazing lady. She reached out to me and she was in college and she reached out to me and said, hey, look, I'm looking for a mentor. I'm in the tech world and I don't know what I'm doing. Would you mind? And all we've been doing is just talking through situations, not technically trying to help her because she's doing a definitely different stack than I am. And I've noticed that over the years, just that motivation and just inspiring her to keep achieving her goals, she's been able to do a lot. Like she launched 2 startups. Now she works for a big company out in, yeah, I think it's France. So I'm pretty proud of her. So sometimes it's just when somebody reached out to you, it doesn't have to be technical. It can just be like just motivation, like most of the time. Like, how are you doing? How do you feel about life? How is it going, you know? Like, what are you proud of? Did you have any achievements? Do you have any goals? Stuff like that. And it really works. It really works. Yeah, that's what I would say.
I just wanted to add that if you are maybe not at a company where you have this team that you can rely on for mentorship, or you are just starting out, definitely join a community and you can find mentorship through them. Whether it's someone learning alongside you or someone who maybe is a little bit ahead of you or someone who is, you know, years ahead of you in terms of experience, then they, like, especially in the Android dev community, everyone is so excited to answer questions and help and build the community further and add new people and explain things, that if you have something that you are working on and need to learn about it or have a question, then reach out to someone, put a little bit of effort into your question, and you will get effort back. And I can't recommend it enough. Cool. So if anyone has anything else to add, let me know. But otherwise, we can move on to another question I got, which is more about, like, how was transitioning from being a student to being someone who worked full time in a tech role?
So for me, my first job was in a consulting company, and I landed that job as an intern. So for me, that was my transition, going from an intern to a junior engineer that was full-time on the company to growing all the other career paths that we ended up having in that consulting company. And it was one of the most incredible process that happened to me, especially because you ended up learning your day-to-day with something that is production-wise, with something that is working already. So that was really cool. And I think that's an incredible way to do the transition from being a full-time student to a full-time developer.
For me, I tried to, first of all, I had an experience with Android before when I was a student. And then when I graduated, I was a trainee as a web developer, but I didn't like it. And that was great for me to discover what I like the most and what I don't. And yeah, I realized that I like Android development better than any other aspects of technology that I've been involved in. And yeah, that's how I moved from a student to a full-time developer. Of course, it involved learning, self-learning throughout those months of transitioning between a career to another. Sure, you'll have to learn all the things, all the tips and tricks in that path that you decide to work on.
I was going to add that for me, I already mentioned I love to-do lists. So during that transition of going from student to having just 8 hours a day to kind of fill with tasks, I leaned heavily on creating a to-do list that I could kind of work down to give me some structure for just having that big open block. And then I also had loved that transition because I suddenly had so much more time after work. And so I hope that you have that experience too. And I just took some time to really enjoy having free time again after being in school for so long. So I hope that is also your experience and that I got to get back into some hobbies and these sorts of things during that time.
Yeah. And I just want to add, there's a lot to learn about process and how tech is built once you leave school, and hopefully that the team you're joining gives you the space and gives you the resources to do that. But those are also things that you can ask about in the communities, like how is this normally handled? How do you handle different situations that you come up with? And people have most likely been through them before and would be happy to answer. I'm sure anyone here would love to. But yeah, Madonna, I know you have a 2 p.m. meeting, so I think we can start wrapping it up.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say. Wow, I think we can go on and on and on, and this has been amazing. I just want to thank again Dinara, Ciara, Mariam for taking your time today to come speak with us. This has been amazing. I didn't know doing this would give me so much joy. Like, it's been amazing just to connect with you all, get to know most of everybody. I think in the Android community, just personally, everybody reaches out to me, says hi. I like that very much. Thank you all. And again, Matt, you're very amazing. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks.
And apart from that, I think we've been here, I think almost now 1 hour, almost 30 minutes. And this has been super great. And we'll be wrapping up. The recording will be up, so we'll share it. And also, we were thinking about making sure we can be saving these spaces so that we can just archive them somewhere for anybody who wants to listen just later. So we're looking into that with Matt. And other than that, I'm so grateful for everybody that came today. And peace and harmony and love. I think last time I said something, I forgot what I said, but it was funny. But peace, harmony, and love. And help.
Thank you so much. May your builds be fast. Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. So many amazing questions and amazing answers from this awesome panel. Please go follow them as they put out more talks and documents and articles on so many amazing different topics. Lots to look forward to from everyone.
Yes, and please, if you're not in the Android dev community, please just reach out to Dan or I, and we will add you. And also the women in tech, please. The women in tech is not specifically for women. If you are an ally, please join us too. It's for everybody that supports women and identifies as a woman. We are welcoming. Thank you all. And again, I'm very grateful for everybody. Good afternoon. Maybe it's night some other places, so I'm going to speak.
Yeah.
A lovely week.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.